Dick Allen, 1972 MVP for the Chicago White Sox, and only the third player in White Sox history.
I couldn't believe that, huh?
Only the third.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that, huh? What is that, since 1901? Uh-huh. I thought we'd had more of that, but we'll get some more MVP, huh?
So you must have been pretty good, huh?
You guys are making me feel like it anyway. If it's a lie, don't let me wake up yet. I've enjoyed it.
Richard Allen. Richard Allen is the son of a forgotten man in this modern day era of baseball. That is the one and the only Richard Anthony Allen, a.k.a. Dick Hitman Allen. And we got his son on the show today. How we doing?
Great, great. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me and letting me fill in.
Well, thank you for accepting our invitation. Now,
you're welcome.
I want to talk about Dick Allen. I mean, you know, he was a pioneer and a legend in his own time. And it seems that baseball, Major League Baseball, has passed him on and forgotten about his legacy. So what's your thoughts about that?
That's correct in saying that. I've heard from several people that brought it to my attention. You know, like, so when they say, like, his career home runs, 351. Mm-hmm. You know, today they look at it as only 351 career home runs. With you know, more players hitting more and more with, you know, with the upgrades to the game, you know, the fields in the 70s being smaller, his stats and numbers get pushed down. And as you mentioned, they do seem to get overlooked and forgotten. But during his time, those stats were huge.
Yeah. Now, you know, let's just reflect back a little bit over some of his accomplishments out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Dick Allen was the 1964 Rookie of the Year.
Now, that's correct.
For African American man back in that day, that was saying a lot.
It definitely was. I mean, obviously I was a lot younger during those times. Well, Rookie of the Year, I wasn't even born yet, but mm-hmm. as I got older and I start to know myself, these things, and I look back, I was like, man, he had a heck of a rookie season to do what he did. I mean, they put that team on his shoulders going down there before that infamous collapse of the 64. They had even started printing tickets for the championship and for the pennant, and they lost it. But yeah, he was like, man, that was a lot of pressure on a 22-year-old kid or something like that.
Tell us a little bit about your playing career.
From Wampum, Pennsylvania, a little town of population 1,090. Come from a small family of 10, five boys, five girls. But what I'm proud of, all five boys were all-state basketballers mm-hmm. and three high school Americans. But then we chose baseball. And
so you go brag a little bit, huh?
Oh yeah. I'm okay. Shine a little apple. That's all it is, Coach. I just shine a little apple. But anyway, without going through it all, it brought me here. Mm-hmm. And when I say here, that's Chicago, the greatest mm-hmm. sports town in America. I feel, and mm-hmm. they're rightly so. We've had some great stars that come through here. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, looking at some of his stats, and, you know, he was, I must admit, before my time. So, you know, I had to go back in the history books and look at his stats. But Dick Allen, Hitman, was a mm-hmm. seven-time All-Star in Major League Baseball. From 1965 to 1967, 1970, and 1972 through 1974. That's a lot.
Yeah, and 72 was the leading vote getter.
So did you ever have any discussions with him about his major league career, his life, and what things was like for him?
You know, near the end, you know, closer to his death, we talked, and we talked baseball more, you know, in depth. But during when he was playing, not so much. If he could get away from it and, you know, get his mind clear, which was, you know, everyone relates to him being with the horses. You know, that was his escape, his getaway to clear his mind. But yeah, we talked. He just reminded me of something, speaking with my son. We talked in depth. It was the All-Star game in Anaheim, and the National League won. I think it was 2-1. Callison hits the winning home run, but my father hit the first home run. And it's on YouTube if anybody is interested to take a look. It's the All-Star game in Anaheim. And immediately when I asked him about that at bat, instantly he went, "Oh, the shadows." Because there were shadows, and that's how I guess he believed that's why it was such a low-scoring game, because no one could really see until like the later innings. Well, and that hit that first at bat, I'm not trying to go on, but the first at bat, the first pitch is out in the other batter's box, and I watched him take his foot, swipe it. No, he took his bat and drew like a look like an arc. So I something just made me ask him. I said, "Now, if I had to guess, you were, taking pitches away." And this time we really had an in-depth talk, which we never really had. And I mean, I always remember that. I mean, we started talking, and he was like, "That pitch out there, I took it away. I drew a line, so there I know if it goes here, if he throws it there, I know not to swing. And I'm looking for something inside that line." And the ball that he hits out, it was a low. Outside, low and away, outside corner, and he took it to right center. So yeah, we talked about things like that, base stealing. Yeah, he more so in the end of his life, he talked to me more personally about baseball and who Hall of Fame picks he'd ask. Did they lead the league in anything? He wanted to know more things, like that, but. I'm sorry, I'm reminiscing. You're just making me think of things that we talked
That's all
about.
right. That's what we want to hear. A lot of things the audience don't know. And, I again, during this history, we heard some good and bad about Dick Allen, which all of us got some good and bad. But the greatest memory I would have of Dick Allen, I had opportunity, been some years back, but to interview him, and he really impressed me as a humble, gentle giant.
Dick Allen, there's a generation out there that have no idea your history, your legacy. How would you want to be remembered by this game?
I don't know that too, but there's so many things you see for kids that need to know. But how do I want to be remembered? I'd like to be remembered as one who did love my God, Jesus, and Lord and Savior. For one, and a very good ball player. In my own mind, I'd like to be remembered by that. Not whether he did this wrong, he did that wrong, as we were saying here in the press conference. I like to think that I helped a lot of people more so than I torn anyone down, and if there was any detriment, I did it to myself. But not here in Chicago. They accepted me for what I am, and a lot of the things that I did do was here and made the changes today, and I'm thinking that those changes are for and were for the better.
Yes, definitely. I think that's part of one of the reasons why he never really talked much about baseball. He didn't talk about high school sports, high school basketball, horses. I mean, just about anything else, but he rarely talked about baseball. The humbleness is just baseball is a humble game anyway. It humbles you real quick. And he was one that was like I heard when he won the MVP, one of the clubbies had to pack it up and send it to him. He just, he felt that he didn't deserve all the credit for everything, and he. That's a true story. I mean, I met the one clubby. They left it. He left it in his locker. They had to send it to him.
Well, see, that's the difference with me and him, because they wouldn't have been able to pack it up. I would have had it all out the door and made sure everybody started on my way out.
He just, I don't know. I go through my grandmother's house, all the accolades, the trophies, this basketball state champ. They just sit there. He just goes. He doesn't think much of it.
So, I mean, you think about some of the greats. I mean, you played with Goose Gossage. I mean, that turned out to be one of the greatest pitchers in baseball history.
And rightly so, but even more so than that, Coach. Let's go back and start where it really began, Ernie Banks. Mm-hmm. I was a kid, you see. They set a precedent. Mm-hmm. And I know he was very big in my sight. Mm-hmm. Not so much for what he did in his uniform, as we all know he was terrific as a player, but it was the way he conducted and handled himself with his character off the field. Yeah. You know, he remembered everyone by their first name and treated everyone with respect. And somehow or another, that caught my eye. I got a chance to meet him, you see, when I was in the 10th grade.
Yeah.
And Tony Taylor was his roommate, wind up being my roommate. So,
let me ask you, in your younger days coming up around him and or in his latter days, were you ever introduced to any other Major League Baseball players that he played with, past, present, or some of the stars of the game? Did you have that opportunity?
Oh, my goodness, yes. When he was traded to St. Louis, the Cardinals had their own plane. So I was traveling with the team. When he went to the Dodgers, they had their own plane. I was traveling with the team there. I missed like 42 days of school traveling with the team. So yeah, I was, and then with the White Sox, I used to have my uniform and I would go to the ballpark with my Uncle Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Rest his soul, he just recently passed. I'd go to the ballpark with him. And then I go shag and be out in the outfield with my uniform. 7 o'clock, there was a rule. I had to be out of the dugout by 7 for game time. And I'd go shower. So, yeah, I interacted with the players. And today I still, you know, going back to Philly for alumni weekends, I still, people that he played against, played with. Yeah, I interact with them there. Bunch of good guys. I mean, it's some of the things that they talk about is just like what you're saying. I mean, they're just, oh man, just a humble guy. Just, you know, Jim Cott, Mike Schmidt, all of these guys are like real good friends.
So you mean that's all the days you missed out of school? If I was hanging around with them, I would have never went to school.
Well, I was brainwashed, you know, you couldn't tell me. There was no other job better than what, I mean, that's all I saw, you know. I'm traveling and had my own bag, luggage. I'm walking with the team. Shoot, man, I thought I was in the big leagues.
Well, see, that's different than me and you. I would have been out there trying to get an autograph.
Oh, my goodness. Let's
talk about your dad days with Chicago White Sox. In 1970, to Dick Allen was the most valuable player. He led the team in RBIs, and he basically, history says, he revived that franchise that was on its way down, and he pumped life into it. He hit home runs. He became a fan favorite. And
yeah, Chicago. I'm sorry, Chicago, because you had me thinking. When he missed by one vote in San Diego. Roland Heeman is out there, who was the GM with the White Sox, I believe. Mm-hmm. He told me to my face, he said, your father saved this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? He said, yeah, they were packing up to leave. And, you know, he was putting butts in the seats.
I really loved the way the fans, the city itself, mm-hmm. They really support their athletic team. The biggest in 72 is when I saw most of the blacks
mm-hmm.
of our people mm-hmm. and Latinos come in that ballpark in 72. Probably here more than anywhere in my little short 18, 20-year career. Those are things that are driving for me and that I appreciate mostly now, Coach.
You know, you come from a small town, a little over 1,000 in a big city like Chicago. Yeah, you had to get lost now.
Exactly, but... Little cornbread, something on that table, home-cooked meal, then you find your way around. You'll find where you're going.
So you was one of them, they talk about the bright lights, huh?
Right. You'll find your way home.
Yeah. And people were coming out just to watch, to see what was going to happen next. I mean, I've had some real great conversations with Goose Gossage about some of the stuff. Oh, he's like, oh man, some of the stuff your old man used to do. He's like, it was just endless. He couldn't believe it. So I remember that year. I just remember the difference between the fans and between Philly and, you know, the booze. Of course, the booze started after the altercation with the teammate. But then when they got to Chicago, you know, it was just cheers and Nancy Faust with the organ. And boy, give you goosebumps when he was on deck. And man, and that one story, my father didn't even tell. And I asked him about it, and he laughed. He just kind of shrugged his shoulders and laughed. But the story with Bases Loaded, and I think it was Sparky Lyle, and whoever he walked to get Bases Loaded was going down first and was saying, "You're in some deep blank blank now," because 15 was coming up. So yeah, there are some great stories about Chicago. He loved Chicago. He really did.
Yeah, well, he told me some of his stories, by the way. He found out what the bright lights was like in Chicago.
He did.
I mean, you know, again, he come from small means. I mean, how humbling is it for you to realize this was your dad, these were the accomplishments he made, and do people recognize you even today as Dick Allen's son?
They do in Philly, because as you know, as he's being somewhat forgotten. Like here, I'm in Florida. People don't really, you know, but say if I'm around the ballpark, I'm in Philly. It's as of right now, like the Phillies are in Philly, they're doing a mural with him, and I'm around. They go, "Hey, oh my gosh, it's Dick Allen's kid. He looks just like him. He looks just like him." So in Pennsylvania, in those areas that are like that, wampum, where I believe that's probably the start of the humbleness. Very small town, Tooting, wampum, that real small, south 40 miles north of Pittsburgh. But, you know, he was just a small town kid, but didn't have a problem speaking his mind.
Now, in an effort to promote diversity in baseball, a league of our own, Developmental Baseball League, will be starting a fall league to help promote, again, diversity in baseball. And in our efforts to carry on Dick Allen's legacy to past and present generations, we will be naming one of the teams in our league the Dick Allen Hitmen. What
Like that.
what's your thoughts about that?
I like that. I like that a lot. My thoughts on it is it fits the athlete. I mean, him hitting the deep home runs, what he's known for, the monster home runs, it just fits the name to a T, the hit. And the bat, you know, the 42-ounce bat, the 36-inch 42-ounce bat, just, yeah, that's a hit, man. That's a, that was a weapon. I mean, but you know, he himself, he's like, you know, on a side note, he's like, I didn't get much pleasure out of hitting the home runs. He's like, I got more pleasure out of trying to undress somebody out there and just handcuff that shortstop, or you know. That's what I was saying. Another Goose guy said, he said, "Oh man, your father hit one back at a pitcher and it looked like a yard sale out there. His just hat was here. Every glove was over here." You know, things like that. Yeah, but he hitting.
He is the greatest golf player I have ever seen,
Oh,
and
no
I've seen a
problem.
lot, and
Wow.
I've told you that before.
Oh, thank you.
Because
You never told me that. Here, I'm confiding in him way back here, Coach. You see, you know.
And I argue that point all the time. I said, just look at the catch. Just look at the catch. Look at how many steals from first against him. Look at how many steals from second, the few games he played there. Look at how he played third base. How many guys led off too big on him. And that was one of the reasons why Chuck Tanner said to me, his retainance of the opponents on any team, he was never struck out two times in a game by any pitcher with the same pitch twice.
And I don't know if you know this, he actually switched hit.
No, I didn't know that.
He could hit left-handed and hit him out. He was told to stay on the right side because the Phillies at that time were heavy on the lefties with lefties. So he could hit on both sides. So that's a hit, man.
So now you want my audience to think that he was multi-talented.
You know, basketball, he was 5'8", palm two basketballs and dunk from a standstill. Go up one hand, come down, come the other. Yeah, he's just roll out of bed talented. That's like that type of athlete.
Now I gotta ask Darvish, of course, with this father son duel, how come we ain't got you in the big leagues?
Oh man, I tried. I really did. But I think I was being looked at as to what he did.
Yeah.
And I told people, I said, man, I tell you what, I couldn't hit a ball that far if I was standing at second base. I just looked on something on Twitter, and there was people, it was a post about Mickey Mantle hitting a, I don't know, 500 and something foot home run. Mm-hmm. And the comments were, people were like, oh no, that's just, you know, it's a fake, it's a lie, no one can hit a ball that far. And, you know, physics or science wouldn't allow it, there's no way. Well, good friend of mine, Mark Carfagno Frog, he discovered that he hit in his career 20 home runs that went over 500 feet. Yeah, that's a hit, man.
That's
it. 500 foot. Well, I was going to say there's a, and when he played in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, the Eastern League, he hit 13 opposite field home runs, and the stadium, at the time, I'm trying to remember the measurements. Anyway, it was the right field fence, and it was a road, and it was a public pool. And I was told by another good friend and writer, Bill Cachetis, he said, yeah, that was about his average. He was hitting him in the pool, where the public pool that we're going. So he was going opposite field with power. You fit the name for that team, and you recognized him well with naming that team after him.
Sound like he was a man of among boys.
I think it's just the hand strength he had. I mean, his hands were just, I mean, they were like they're meat cleavers. Actually, all of them, my uncle Hank, my uncle Ron, my father, my uncle Caesar. They were just very strong. My grandfather used to lift refrigerators by himself. They were just strong, just really strong.
So what do you think he would have to say if he was here and found out that Lou Baseball was dedicating a team in his name and his honor?
I think he'd be flattered, and he'd be more honored and flattered as to what you're doing. There it is again. We talked about later on in his life, and he was saying about how you know young men don't play baseball. We had that conversation, and you know he.
Then when I first got to be a rookie here, there's Mays. Now these fellows had already been there like before me. You see, so during my time, when I'm 28, 29, these are the stars as of today. Yeah. And they all wear World Series rings.
Yeah.
But here, he didn't let me cross over and get that one. But this has been great for me here in Chicago. Yeah.
You know, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Bill Williams, Ernie Banks. I mean, these were the pioneers. So we're losing a lot of them today.
Yeah, not only that, see, what concerns me most is that we, here is our race. We go to basketball, football.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, baseball has always been the game. But in baseball, everybody gets a chance. I don't care if your size, 5 foot, 3, 5 foot, 6, 6 foot, 5. We've had them even such 6'10". Randy Johnson pitched with Arizona. He's 6'10". Everybody gets a chance. You see, color, size, it doesn't matter. This is a really terrific game, and I'm really concerned about it. That here we are, but we don't play with all the beginning from Jackie Robinson Jesse Owens, Negro League Baseball. Mm-hmm. We don't even touch it anymore. Yeah. It's sad. It's very sad.
I remember when the team from Chicago, the Little League team from Chicago that went to the Little League World Series, and they stripped him in. He asked me, did I know somebody? And I found who the person was, and he felt so bad for him. I got him two hats that they wore. And he wore those hats to autograph signings, anywhere he could be seen with that hat. And he just wanted people to ask him about it. So yeah, he'd be honored about what you're doing and having this league and trying to have more interest for, you know, African Americans playing baseball. Cause I heard it was like 6% opening day.
If that high.
If it's at a, and there are a lot of talented, you know, African-American players out there. They really are.
Well, that means we're going to have to get you a Alu shirt and hat so you can walk around when you're in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. You know, I can cover up the gray. I'll put that cap on.
You see, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. In doing my research, Dick Allen, on 4 different occasions, was nominated for the Hall of Fame. And I believe on each occasion he came up one vote short. One vote short. I mean, was that devastating, or was that just something that you just take in stride?
Well, the first one is I felt like, you know, man, I called him up. I said, you got beat at the wire. Just one, okay. He laughed and he said, I'm glad that's over. He said, that's it. I said, well, no, there's going to be another one. And he's like, well, the second one. Now, you know, I think the second one stung a little bit more because they said, oh, we couldn't vote because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But they still voted for the most recent players, you know, players that, you know, they voted for a certain group, but not the group he was in. But it was still COVID. So that's why that second one stung a little bit more. You know, he, on the other hand, he was happy for the ones that he's like, Tony Oliva, yeah. He's like, yeah. Jim Cotton, those guys, he felt like they deserved it. Actually, the one year he felt, I think Gil Hodges missed it as well. He felt that Gil Hodges should have got it even over him. That's just who he was. But yeah, it gets emotional because you get hype. You know, we were sitting there, we had a watch party, and we're thinking, yeah, this is going to be it. You know, get his just due. You just get disappointed.
And then a lot of that in reality is a popularity contest too.
And yes, yeah. He's like, he said, I don't know. He said, I'd rather win ball games than be known as a good guy. That's it. He's like, you know, he's a good guy, but a good guy, I don't know. Can they win you a ball game? That's he'd say stuff like that.
It has to be the most ultimate pinnacle to rise to the top, to be recognized by all of history for eternity that you made in your profession as a Major League Baseball player, the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, because I know after the Phillies retired his number,
mm-hmm.
and I go to the stadium and I look around and I see that 15 and just, it gives me goosebumps. Like, you know what? He's cemented for life with them like that. And so I can't even imagine overall with the Hall of Fame, you know, if that happens, what that would be like. For someone that didn't play, I can't even imagine how that feeling would be for someone that did play. That's got to be, like you said, the ultimate.
So do you sometimes just pinch yourself and say, man, that was my dad?
Every now and then when people tell me things, I go, wow, you know, I'm more proud. It was a few years, maybe 6-7 years ago, we were over at Clearwater during spring training, and we're walking through the crowd and he's looking at the rookies and the prospects and, you know, the minor leaguers, I should say. And this guy walks up behind, because I always kind of separated myself with him, because sometimes people just come up and go, hey, and they grab you, you know. So this guy's whispering, he goes, I think that's Dick Allen. I think that's Dick Allen. He goes, the guy goes, man, he doesn't look that big. And then the other guy goes, I remember he hit one in spring training that it took the aluminum light off of the, it went out, it took the aluminum light and carried it with it. The baseball carried it and it kept going. You know, he was only, they listed him as 5'11", but he was about 5'10 and a half. Mm-hmm. Only about 180 pounds. He, and yeah, it is, you know, I got lost in my question, but I do. I'm really honored, and I do. I look at him now from other people. They tell me, because he would never tell me. other people would tell me about the things that he used to do. So it's I'm more proud to be Junior now than ever. I really am.
Let me share some insights for those fans that don't know on this legend and unsung hero. Dick Allen, in 1972, led the league in home runs with 37, setting a team record. RBIs, 113, and walks, 99, while winning the MLB, Major League Baseball Most Valuable Player Award. In addition to that, Dick Allen made the All-Star team three times as a member of the Chicago White Sox. Dick Allen played 15 seasons of Major League Baseball. On July 31st, 1972, Dick Allen became the first player in Major League history to hit not one, but two inside the park home runs in one game off of Burt Bylevy. That's a lot.
That was the coach with the gentle giant, the walk with a big soft but with a big stick, yeah, Dick Allen.
I like that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That was a lot. And I've gone back and watched the video on that. And he's like, I gave up a lung trying to get around that second one. The second in the park. It's like, oh man. When he slides and he hits the ground, then I'm like, yeah, that is, that's, I mean, that, yeah, that's a great year. Just missed the Triple Crown. I mean, that's a heck of a season to have right there. And when you're describing it, you gave me goosebumps.
I think he gave a lot of people goosebumps.
Wow. Old Chicago.
And then, you know, we talk about the salaries, $700 million to one player, and players making $20, $30, $40 million. In 1973, what he earned a three-year contract, is Dick Allen became the highest player in Major League Baseball, which was a record at that time. And that was in the 70s. I mean, that was equivalent to $5, $10 million today, easily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he obviously talked about that. He said, man, these guys today, they walking around. He's like, that's just walking around money. Like what he was making, he's like, I just walk around with that. Yeah, he talked about that. He's like, I wonder what I would have made if I had played today. That's all. He would say that every now and then.
Well, you know, when I interviewed Maury Wills some years ago, God rest his soul, and I asked him about the salaries that players are getting today in the major leagues, he said, man, guys that I played with, they were turned over in their graves with their kind of talent.
And with the money that's in the game today, that would just blow a guy's mind back in the 50s.
They're turning over now in their graves. I mean, I'm turning over already. I haven't gotten it to the grave yet. We used to get paid for next year based on what we did this year. Mm-hmm. Now the players have the 4 and 5 year contracts for $5 or $6, $10 million already guaranteed.
Yeah. Man, I mean, as you know, like you said, it's for the time, it's like the 700, but still, it has a different ring to it today. It's 700 mil, man. Ooh, it was good speaking with you.
I'm enjoying this. We're going to definitely have to do it again and get together for that dedication service.
All right. That sounds good.
Dick Allen, number 15, was retired by the Philadelphia Phillies on September 3rd. 2020. He was inducted into the Phillies Wall of Fame. Were you there for that?
I was there for the number retirement. When he became the Wall of Famer, I was not present for that, but I was definitely there for the number retirement. I called him, and let me back up a little bit. The year before, they named him ambassador of the club. So I called him up. I said, "Hey, excuse me, is this the ambassador?" And he laughed, and so we got a joke out of that. And then after they retired the number, I called him and I said to congratulate him, and all he said was, he was a bit speechless, and he said, "They didn't have to do that." I said, "What?" He said, "Retire the number. They didn't have to do that." I said, "You're right, they didn't." I said, "But you deserve it." And I left him speechless with that one. So I said, "You earned that whole thing." I said, "Your number deserves to be up there." And he just kind of like shrugged his shoulder and said, "Yeah." But he was definitely taken back by that. He really was. I mean, that's his number, because he said, "I don't know, it's just something about that number I like." And I look at it differently now in my eyes today. I really do. At 1-5, it's like, I guess it was for him, it was like a racehorse. He looked at it as something. I'm getting carried away, but it's like something that he looked at it like with strength and in that number. It was like there was power in that number or something like that.
Once again, I had the opportunity to interview him, and two things that struck me was his humbleness and that he had reconciled his life, because it came across very strongly to me that he was definitely a God-fearing man.
Oh, definitely. That's my grandmother. That's definitely my grandmother. Yeah, she didn't mess around with, she just didn't. She said, "I'm not mean. I'm just a little strict." And she carried her Bible with her wherever she goes, wherever she went. And when all of the brothers left home to go play, they were given a verse, and she gave them a Bible to take. And there's something, a poem that she gave them to keep and to remember. I'll actually have to find it and I'll send it to you through your email. And it had to do with God's Hall of Fame. Yeah, she was very, very, very much into the church.
Nothing like a mother now. I understand the mothers now. They leave an impact that no one can ever explain, but they leave an impact.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
And they know how to make them husbands fall in line too.
Yeah, she was, ooh, man. She was straight to the point. That's probably where he got his directness from. He just, boom, I'm gonna tell you like it is. You know, she pulled no strings with you.
Dick Allen made his major league debut on September 3rd, 1963 with the Philadelphia Phillies. In addition to playing for the Phillies, he played for the Cardinals, the Dodgers, the White Sox, and his last major league game was on June 19, 1977 with the Oakland A's. What's your memories on that?
I was thinking, wow, my memories, I was like, "Dad, can I go? I'm going to Oakland. He's like, and I was older at the time, and he wasn't going to let me miss school and things like that. And I do remember very little. I remember having breakfast with a teammate, Billy North. I went to Boston. Maybe they were playing in Boston. And I also remember the wampum 60 on his back and not the traditional 15. Apparently it was a number issue. I guess whoever had it didn't want to give it up. And he said, so I told him, "Forget it. I want to recognize my hometown." And so Wampum, instead of the last name Allen, he had 60 of his year of graduation. That's what I remember that. And, the white spikes, most teams weren't wearing white spikes, and the different color uniforms. And oh my gosh, they had so many different uniforms. I remember because I used to always stand by his locker. And I remember him getting dressed. Well, he went into his locker to to put something on. And normally they had it hanging out. It's like, this is what the one you're wearing today. And my father used to take his time getting dressed. Uh-huh. And if you look at pictures, you'll see like thermals, long underwear. He took his time and he stopped, talk. Well, he got completely dressed. And I said, Dad, you got the wrong uniform on. And he looked around. They all had a green jersey on. He had the yellow jersey on. And all, so he's got to come out all this stuff. And that's the only recollection I have of Oakland. No home run, nothing like that. What I see him in Oakland are pictures. But I was about in seventh grade or so at that time. So I was home. Wasn't allowed to travel.
You wasn't going to miss no more school, huh?
No, I couldn't. Boy, that pushed me back a whole year. I should have graduated before I did.
The coach, mm-hmm. Richard Allen, the son of the forgot hero of Major League Baseball, Richard Dick Hitman Allen. I thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to definitely us doing this again.
Oh, I appreciate it. This is a way to start my morning off talking about something like this. I'm going to have a good rest of the day. Thank you. Thank you again for that.
We'll be in touch. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye. Take care. Bye.
Coach, wrapping it up. See you on the next show. Peace out. Give my orders a peace sign. There you go. From the man.